Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. We're doing the nighttime version today due to the coronavirus or COVID-19 and all that good garbage and the pandemic, everybody locked in and hunkered down and to prevent the spread of the disease. Well, I'd like to welcome somebody who used to co-host the show with me back in the day when I always did a nighttime show, Kristen Lee. Kristen, welcome back.
Hey, Vince. Thanks for having me tonight. How you been?
Oh, not too bad. Figured doing a nighttime show gets you back on. This way, racing season has been pretty much cut short. So it's one of them deals, you know. It's just like everybody's trying to figure out what to do. And I figured, let's see who we can get on tonight. And I figured, let me give a shout out to my buddy who was Colonel Sanders in The Food That Built America and also played Dale Earnhardt in Country Music TV's The History of NASCAR and host of Gallery of Guns for a season, the one and only Jeff Sandor. Jeff, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, man, it's great to be back. I appreciate you having me. How are you?
Good, good. So, Kristen works for Black River Farms and War Dog Spirits Distillery. I saw a post where she was making moonshine, I guess legally in Pennsylvania. I didn't know they made moonshine in Pennsylvania, Kristen.
Yeah, we do. We make it legally. We have a really awesome distiller. His name's Dewey, and he came to us from South Carolina. His family's been moonshining for 150-plus years, so we have a pretty authentic moonshiner doing our distilling, so it's pretty cool.
But we wouldn't know if you were going to make it because you guys had switched over to making hand sanitizer, and you had your first shipment today, so I guess everything went well because you're with us now.
Yeah, actually, it's been interesting. We've had to kind of take our producing of moonshine and vodka and gin and all that fun stuff. And we've kind of shifted into making hand sanitizer so that we can donate it to our local hospitals, emergency workers, the police department. They need it more than ever right now. So we have the means to do so with our alcohol. And so we are just going to town and trying to help out our community. So it's definitely been interesting. I've been lucky enough to continue to work through all this. I know there are some folks that unfortunately are not working right now, but I feel blessed to work in the industry that I do work in so that I can continue to work and going to work every day. Everything around us is so crazy right now, but it's a good feeling knowing that we're doing something to help the community and help everyone get through this.
That's pretty good. Now, Jeff, you're down on the Carolina coast. I saw where they were shutting all that down. Like my old stomping grounds was locked down, Emerald Isle area. How was it down your way?
Oh, man. I don't know about you guys, but it's been a hell of a week. It's only Tuesday. Holy smokes. Whoa. What is going on here? Are we in a simulation? Is this real life or is this a simulation? Are we sure? What? Oh, my gosh. Holy smokes. I don't even know where to begin. I'm having to, like, walk up to – I'm having to walk through the drive-thru to get Chick-fil-A. It's a real nightmare right now. My goodness.
I know. I see where, like, I know Virginia did not shut down gun stores, but some places did.
Now, who is shutting down the gun stores right now? I haven't seen anything
Champaign,
about that. Who's doing that?
Champaign, Illinois.
No, Illinois. Well, that's not surprising. I saw where in North Carolina, I guess Mecklenburg County, the Charlotte area in western North Carolina, it's very heavily populated county. They're like doing an in-house like quarantine, like they're locking down officially over there, which is, man, I am a little nervous about that. I don't know how that's going to play out if that continues to roll across the state. And the governor we've got, man, he's like the Virginia governor. I mean, it's just, I never know what these guys are going to do. So we're playing it by ear.
I know Kristen's up in Pennsylvania. I know Philly's trying to clamp everything down. I know Jersey's trying to clamp everything down. But here in our part of Virginia, there's only a couple of cases. I think West Virginia, which is only has about two or three cases statewide there. So they're pretty much not doing everything. The plant I work for did shut down for a week. So that's why I'm doing a nighttime show instead of a daytime show, which they are paying us for it. So I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I guess
yeah,
Hollywood
we
just discovered we're non-essential employees. Sorry, Kristen.
It's okay. we're kind of shut down here in Pennsylvania. I'm in Northampton County, so we haven't been put on full, for lack of a better term, house arrest as some of the other counties around us have been, but all of our non-essential businesses are shut down. The highways are virtually empty. On my way to work in the morning, it's a little bit eerie. Just like you said in the beginning, I don't feel like this is real life. I feel like this is feel like I'm in a movie.
Yeah, I'm like, is it the Matrix or is it the Truman Show? Is it 1984? What model are we going with right now? It's weird. I don't know, man. So are we ready to put on our tinfoil hats or what do we want to do? What do we want to talk about? Where do we want to go with this? This is some crazy times we're living in, folks.
I know. And you know who's laughing at everybody? Preppers. You know, preppers have been stocking up on crap forever.
Man, I'm gonna have to apologize to those guys.
They've been doing it right the whole time.
They're laughing at us now.
Sure are.
What I don't understand is how you go from having a virus which is flu-like, but everybody's running out for toilet paper. I mean, come on. I could understand Kleenex and tissues and stuff like that, but toilet paper?
This is why they won't tell us about the aliens. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. There's something else going on here they're not telling us, right?
Yeah, if this is our reaction to a pandemic is to go and buy massive amounts of ass wipes, we are probably not, you know, ready for anything too heavy, you know, right now. If this is our reaction. I'm just saying, not to be too judgy.
Yep, I agree. It's a little bit crazy. I was in a grocery store the other day, and I mean, it's just crazy around here. And I was in a grocery store, and I was standing in line, and the lines were, you know, so far back into the store. And I'm standing there, and this guy walks into the grocery store, and he yells. He's like, "Hey, everyone, just so you know, Dollar General has some toilet paper down there." So you saw people literally getting out of line and going to Dollar General to get their toilet paper. And I just stood there and I'm staring around and like, okay, am I in the freaking Twilight Zone? Like, this is crazy.
Uh,
It was just
yeah.
Surreal.
I'm in the wrong industry. I should have definitely went. I should have went the Charmin route, man. I'm telling you, heck with TV.
I paid it. That'll be the stock to buy before it starts shooting. Before the market shoots back up, is toilet paper and that kind of stuff. Yeah, ironic twist of fate is gas prices are down. So now it's cheaper to go get the stuff, but there's no stuff to get.
Oh, man. What an upside down world we are living in right now. I'm telling you right now, we've got a reality star as president. We have a pandemic. We have Australia's on fire. We're having earthquakes in Western North Carolina. I think we had like 12 or 15 or some crazy amount in under a day. I don't know what's going on, man. Somebody's trying to get our attention, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I said. He's trying to tell us, like, come on, guys, get it together down there.
How's the booze business? I kind of stepped on everybody. Sorry about that.
I'd like to know how the booze business. I bet you the booze business is booming right now, isn't it?
Listen, the booze business is like you have no idea. We're doing. We're not allowed to be open, but we can do car side takeout to go of our spirits and our wine. And let me tell you something. It's booming. People want their booze. I think that's how a lot of people are surviving this whole thing.
Amen.
Amen. Exactly. But yeah,
I'm doing my part right now.
Yeah, I am too. I'm drinking a glass of wine.
Cheers, Kristen. Cheers.
Cheers, right back at you. Yeah, I'm thankful. I am. I am thankful that we are able to do that as of right now. I mean, if I was one county up, we would have to shut down our takeout car side to go. So for now, fingers crossed, the booze business is booming.
Well, that's good because I think that's what everybody surprised. Stores haven't sold out of beer, wine, liquor. Instead of toilet paper, you know, I think it'd be the other way around. You're stuck in your house. Why do you need a year's worth of toilet paper? A year's worth of booze in a day.
I think these people are probably stocking up on toilet paper because for a lot of people, this is the first time they're going to eat their own cooking. So, you know.
Very true.
You got to be ready. You got to be ready. I'm just saying. Just saying. You know, I didn't get to live to be 40 for, you know, being crazy. I'm prepared. I'm well versed in this stuff. You know, you got to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see where like the states like New York and California are getting National Guard deployed, and all these hospital ships and cruise ships are going to be starting turning into like hospitals. Wasn't the cruise ships that started getting people sick to begin with?
Yeah, I think so. Well, that and eating things that should not be eaten are getting people sick. So if you just stick to eating, you know, what's on the menu, you'll probably be okay. It's just when you go off the menu and start eating local in some of these places, you're going to get in trouble. But speaking of National Guard deploying, now, Vinny, you're an old devil dog. What's your take on this as a former military man as far as what the National Guard's doing and how they're operating? What's your take on all that?
Well, it all depends. If they're going to be used for aiding people like they do during natural disasters, then that's one thing. But if they're going to go door to door trying to make sure people stay in their houses, I saw a meme that says, Marines, if a National Guardsman shows up at your door, do not take his weapons.
That's wrong, man. You know, it's my understanding, though. I mean, it's my understanding they're doing like they're setting up, they're trying to facilitate hospitals, and they're really just being a support element. They're not being any kind of an aggressive element or an intrusive element. it seems to be they're being utilized as support. Is that what you guys are seeing, or what?
Well, that's what we hear. It's supposed to be. So let's.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kristen.
No, I was going to say, I mean, that's what we're seeing here in Pennsylvania, and our state police are, I mean, they are enforcing a lot of this. They're going around and they're citing businesses that are open, non-essential businesses that are open. Example, our distillery, we don't actually serve drinks or, you know, tastings out of our distillery. It's just for processing purposes. And we got a visit by the state police last week making sure that we were not serving. And if we were, we risked losing our liquor license. So, you know, I think everyone is kind of just coming together and making sure that, you know, they're doing their job in terms of enforcing what our lawmakers are saying needs to be done.
Interesting.
Too out of hand. What about the Carolina area? What are the cops doing down there?
I haven't seen much action down here, honestly. And I live in a small suburb town right outside of Wilmington on the east coast of North Carolina. And honestly, it's not been too intrusive. I think people, for the most part, are doing the social distancing thing. People are just doing the drive-in or the curb service. For the pickups and the eateries, I haven't had any interaction with law enforcement. I haven't seen. I mean, I've seen them on the roads and whatnot, but it short of the traffic being a lot lighter, it's not been too crazy. You know, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, pretty much the same way here in the southwestern end of Virginia. I mean, I did go out to the store the other day and had to get some cat food for the cats, but where I live, there's really nobody around unless I go to the end of my driveway, but usually people there and all that, so they really don't bother. I think I've seen maybe three cop police vehicles the whole time I was out, so nobody like, hey, you get home or that type of stuff.
Okay, so let me throw this at both of you, okay? So I'm going to put my tinfoil hat back on. Is it weird to you, both of you, is it strange that this guy, this Harvard scientist, got arrested, you know, in very short amount of time, you know, we got this virus now. You think that those guys are possibly tied in with this virus stuff or no?
Kristen, you want to go first?
You know, I'm like on the fence with all this. I'm not sure if, you know, people are saying this was a U.S. thing where we did this. It didn't really, you know, come from whatever the heck that market is in China or whatever the heck. And, you know, I don't know if I'm in on the whole conspiracy thing and all that. But, I mean, I think through this, everyone's going to have their own opinion on what's going on. Because, I mean, I'm 40. I've never dealt with anything like this in my life. So I don't know what to think, to be honest with you. I mean, that's just – I can't even put it in any other terms other than I have no freaking idea.
Fair enough. Vinny?
Well, Kristen, you being a former news anchor, that says a lot. Me being, the oldest of the three of us. I've never seen anything like this either. I mean, we've had issues where, you know, you get the flu coming through every year or so and all this. But as far as that guy, there is a big bio lab in Wuhan, China, from what I've seen. So if this guy had something to do with weaponizing what probably is a virus that has been around a bit, except not in this particular strain. Hard to say, but just the fact that maybe he went over there and shouldn't have is a different story. And as far as getting it from bats and all, that's another room there, because you really know you can't I wouldn't trust the Chinese because they kept their lid on this for a while before it blew up in their face. So whether this guy had something to do with it or not, I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
Now, you brought up a very interesting point. You said the Chinese kept a lid on this for some time. How possible is it that this coronavirus was already spread and had already entered the U.S. and just we weren't testing for it? So we didn't know if anybody had it because nobody was being tested for it. Because I'm going to tell you, I got so sick in December. I didn't get tested. I didn't go to the hospital. But if I had the flu, it was the worst flu I've ever had in my entire life. Now, I'm not saying I got coronavirus. I don't know. I didn't go to the hospital. But it just makes me wonder, you know, my tinfoil hat on, if this stuff had been over here long before we knew about it.
Well, there's always that point because, like you said, if you think you caught the flu, the symptoms are kind of the same, except with the way it's supposedly, from what I've seen in the medical establishment that's talking how it grabs onto your lungs and could damage lung tissue, that you probably wouldn't know. And if, you know, you get the flu, you don't go to the hospital. Yeah, I get a flu shot every year, whether it works or not. My company offers it, so my wife and I get it. But who knows? You know, it's you stay home, you wait to get better, you get better. What could you have had it? That's a possibility. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that because you see now people are saying, just like you just said, like I was so sick, you know, a month, 2-3 months ago, corona. But how would you know? Because nobody even knew what corona was really till just recently. So, I mean, this could have been spreading before anybody was even made aware of it. So who really knows?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. I think personally, I don't think this was intentional. I think this is a virus that was in bats. I totally buy the science behind that, and I think the strain's mutated. That's not an anomalous act. I mean, that's viruses do that, flus do that. So I mean, I totally buy that, but I do find it very worth kind of thinking about and pondering. How long has this really been active around the world? And had they had not told us about it, would we even know? It's another weird kind of angle to look at.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you on that because, you know, we were and are in the midst of flu season. So how does anybody know that they really did have the flu? I saw something that people were saying that they thought they had the flu. They got flu tested for the flu. They tested positive for the flu, but nobody tested them for corona. And I've heard that you can test positive for both with this. So who knows?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's just one.
I watched a movie the other night called Contagion, I think is what its name was. It was with Gwyneth Paltrow and Matt Damon, and I definitely shouldn't have watched it. Let's put it that way. Because I literally was like, at first I'm like, oh, I'm just going to watch this because I saw people posting about it on Facebook. I'm like, oh, how bad can it be? And I watched it, and I was literally sitting on the edge of my couch, and I'm like, oh, my God, right now. Now this is happening right now to us. On a little bit of a bigger level in terms of the movie, but that's happening. The movie was so surreal. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And if this, I guess, continues and keeps going and spreading, you know, we could get to that point, but it was crazy. And I won't give the movie away if people haven't seen it, but it started with a bat in the movie. So a little crazy.
Kristen, Kristen. Okay. watching that movie right now, that's like flying on an airplane and watching La Bamba, okay? Or watching Alive, okay? You don't do that.
Crazy now, because it's like everything I'm hearing, I'm watching the news, I'm listening to this, and I'm seeing this, and I'm like, my mind keeps going back to that movie, and I just keep seeing Matt Damon's face in my head and Gwyneth Paltrow's face in my head, and I'm like, oh my god, like, why did I put myself through that? I guess it was like out of boredom. I'm like, ah, just sit here and watch this, because I'm not one to like just sit still. I'm on the go all the time, so I'm like, oh, I'll just watch this. How bad can it be? Guess what? It was bad. So don't watch it if you're listening.
Man, I can't do that. If I watch a scary, I'm that guy that if I'm by myself, I watch a scary movie in the middle of the night. I got to follow that up with like at least 2 episodes of Scooby-Doo. So, you know, I can't do it.
Hey, listen, I got done watching the movie and turned on Real Housewives of, I don't know, New Jersey or something. So I, you know, I broke it out of my brain for a little bit, but.
Good call. I think that's a great example. That's how crazy spreads faster than viruses right there. That's a great example of a show. We can see that in real time, man.
Exactly.
We can look at that and go, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay.
I'm telling you, everyone asks me, why do you watch so many reality shows? I'm like, because it makes my life look great.
Right?
See?
I'm with you on that.
Well.
Oh, it's so crazy. But speaking of movies, I'm going to have to watch the Dale Earnhardt movie that you were in, because now since Vince told me about it, I'm going to have to see if I can find it on Netflix or, I don't know, Amazon Prime or something.
Yeah, that was a good one. If you're big into racing, that's right up your alley. That's a good one. It was on CMT, and History Channel did a great take on the food industry that I was in that, and that's on Amazon Prime right now, The Food That Built America, so you can check that out. There's no contagions in any of my work, though, so I don't want you to get too disappointed.
No, that's okay. I'm going to breathe easy now, and I'm going to definitely have to watch that.
Sounds good.
Well, The Food That Built America, you were in the last episode, so they saved the best for last when they had the Colonel Sanders thing. So,
well, they were running out of money at that point, so they just had to bring me in. Kind of just, you know, I'm just kidding. They know I work cheap. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. No, they that whole entire show from start to finish is phenomenal, and it has nothing to do with me. I had so many brilliant actors around me, and you'll see them all in that show. The directing is fantastic. The production value is really good. And it's just that show. It's just fascinating stuff, man. It's about real people doing real stuff and building the food industry. It's cool. It's definitely you get a peek behind the curtain in the lives of these folks. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, like Coca-Cola claiming to be the real thing, but it hasn't been the real thing since the guy invented it and they took cocaine out of it.
budget cuts, everybody.
They probably would have sold a lot more if they kept it that way.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Now for the NASCAR movie, for the Dale Earnhardt, did you have to do a lot of research into him as a person and his life, and to kind of gain a take on your role in that movie?
I did a phenomenal amount of research, because honestly, I knew nothing about NASCAR going into it. I was familiar with the main drivers. My older brother is a diehard Earnhardt fan. So, I mean, I heard a lot about the guy and Petty and all those dudes. For me, this was the most pressure I'd ever felt as an actor going into a role, because normally I'm playing fictitious people, so whatever I'm doing, people just take it for what I'm doing. But playing somebody who's real, who is, you know, we have footage of, you can watch the real person, and naturally people are going to compare me and him. that's a lot of pressure, and it's a really lot of pressure because he has so many fans, and I just felt so obligated to get it right because I didn't want to let his fans down. And so I spent a lot of time watching a lot of his interviews, trying to mimic him as best I can with as much respect as I could. And in the end of it, we shot a great show. They cut it terribly. And you didn't get to see much of Earnhardt Sr. at all. And unfortunately, the powers that be just didn't like how it was written out. But all in all, I mean, that was a powerful role to play, man. I don't know why I keep playing these iconic guys. First Earnhardt, now, you know, Colonel Sanders. I don't know who I'm going to play next. Maybe Abraham Lincoln or something.
Well, you got the beard already.
More pressure. Yeah, it might have been more pressure being Dale Earnhardt Sr. than Abraham Lincoln with just the following and the love behind that guy.
100%. Yep.
I mean,
that's always a lot of pressure.
I mean, I started watching NASCAR because of Dale Sr. and him bumping people out the way, and it was kind of like hockey.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Yeah, I've got a whole new respect for that sport and those drivers. There's a lot of courage and grit and a lot of engineering, and the amount of hours these folks spend behind the wheel to do these precision movements is just absolutely mind blowing. So just getting to learn about that I have a total respect for the sport now, a newfound respect that I didn't have before.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, and I know Vince has heard this story before, but, you know, I covered a number of the NASCAR races back before I was a retired news anchor. I like to say it that way because I'm 40, so I like to say I'm a retired news anchor. But I got to do a once-in-a-lifetime ride-along with Clint Bowyer. So I'd been covering it for years and, you know, getting to know some of the crew members and the drivers and stuff, but, you know, it's different when you actually get into a car and you're going, you know, 175 around Pocono Raceway as the passenger. I crawled out of that car afterwards, and I was like, whoa, like I have an absolute 150% new respect for these drivers and the talent they have. And the concentration and the dedication and everything that goes along with it to be able to do something like that. So I'm with you on that.
Well, you're lucky, Kristen. I didn't even get to do that. At least you had one of the fun drivers to ride with. I'm sure he kept you entertained while he was scaring the crap out of you. Did you have to change the undergarments when you got out of the car?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, it was definitely an experience. And you're right, Clint was awesome. If I, you know, could pick any of them to ride with, I mean, obviously he's such a cool dude, and he made it extremely enjoyable. And I still look back on the video. I actually took a handheld video camera with me in the car. I mean, it gives you a headache watching the video because it's like, boom, like the camera's just going all over the place and everything. But there's a couple times where I turn the camera like over onto Clint. And at one point he knew I was like freaking out, probably, you know, messing my pants. Not really. But he took his hand, his right hand off the wheel and like touched my leg. Like, it's okay. And he can't hear a word I'm saying. And I'm yelling, "Don't take your hand off the wheel! Like, please, don't, I'm fine." And, you know, we got back after the ride, and I said to him, I was like, "What the hell were you thinking? Why were you taking your hand off the wheel?" He's like, "I was just making sure you're okay, like, so calm, cool, and collective." And I'm like, "I was fine! You needed to be concentrating on driving." But, yeah, so he definitely made it even a more like enjoyable experience just because of his personality and just how cool and laid back he is.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. You should, could you post, do you still have that video? Maybe you ought to post it.
Yeah, I can post it. I have it. It's actually one of my favorite experiences in my 14 years in the news business. That was definitely a topper. One of the top three for sure.
Kristen, I got to ask you, since you come from the news world, so
yes,
we can say that you're separated from that world now. What is your take on how the media is running right now? And what's your feel? What's the temperature with the news? What do you think is going on in the news world right now?
I think they are very much so contributing to pandemonium that's going on right now. I guess because, like you said, I don't work in it anymore, so I'm definitely viewing it from an outsider looking in at this point. Do I know they're doing their job? 100%. Do I know that they have, you know, a half an hour newscast, they need to fill with information. And what do you fill with your newscast with information? You fill it with what's going on in the world. Well, what's going on in the world is, you know, coronavirus. So they have to keep pumping those stories to keep pumping the viewers to keep watching. So I get it. I do. But I am one of those that's sitting back saying, like, media, please, like, calm it down a little bit. Like, there's other things going on in the world. Stop making people crazy. You know what I mean? It's driving me insane. But I know that if I still worked in the news business today, that I would be doing the same thing. I was the news director for the news station I worked at, so I would be doing the same thing. I'd be giving all my reporters coronavirus assignments. So I get it.
I don't know if I mentioned this at any point, but just for everybody listening, Epstein didn't kill himself. Okay. Just want to throw that out there. That's one thing the news is. We're not covering that anymore with this corona stuff.
Nope.
I've noticed that we had a guy who was confirmed pedophile ringleader, you know, connected to all these high profile people. We had him murdered in a maximum security prison on U.S. soil. Nobody's worried about that. And nobody seems to, you know, want to investigate who all these highfalutin people are. It's weird. I figure the news will be all over this for months, but it's not.
It's not. And, you know, there's probably some people out there. I'm not even going to say probably. There are some people out there who are thanking the dear Lord for coronavirus right now because it took the focus off of that. And probably some other things that were going on in our country and our world that, they didn't want the news media to keep focusing on. So they're like, oh, yes, coronavirus. Okay, put your focus on that now, and let's stop talking about this other stuff. But yeah, I agree with you. There's been so much focus put on this coronavirus, and there's so much other stuff going on in the world. And I understand corona is right there. It's in front of all of our faces. We're on self-quarantine here in Pennsylvania. I think the whole country is at this point. But so I get that. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff the media has kind of forgot about.
Yeah, it was like Trump impeachment, corona.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you would think with all these news channels now, it's not like the old days when you only had two or three. I know you guys are youngsters in my realm here, so. But
I'll take that, thank you.
Three channels. There was only three channels before cable and all that kind of good stuff. And you think with all these major news networks, if they report facts instead of propaganda, that they might get watched a little more often.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah. Dive into that, Kristen. Would you care to comment on a little bit of that?
She worked for a local station, so they're probably the most honest.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, they'll have that. what's the word I'm looking for? You still have that little ant that's on the floor, and that little ant, we're going to make it this big, bad, poisonous spider that's going to, like, you know, take out the whole town, because that's what we have to do as the media. We have to take something so small, we have to make it so interesting to the people and pull them in. So, I mean, I get it. I do. They have a job to do, but like I said, they're kind of taking it a little overboard. I mean, example, and this is like, you know, my own opinion, obviously, but during this whole coronavirus thing, we had a, you know, a police officer killed in the line of duty, and it was buried. It was buried in the newscast. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me right now? Like, that should be your top story, that we had this hero killed in the line of duty by this person who was arrested, I don't know, 7 times and let out 7 times. Shouldn't have been out to begin with. Killed, you know, I don't know, 30-some-year veteran of the police force, and that's your 7th story in your lineup because coronavirus has to lead your newscast. It's like, no. That's where I would kind of get into it with my own in certain instances where they're like, no, we need to lead with the flu season. Like, no, we need to lead with this child that is missing for 2 weeks now. No, 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 we got to lead with flu season because that's what everyone's talking about.
How much pressure does, like the money, I guess, from advertising play into possibly steering, like, I don't want to say a narrative, but, like, I guess steering an angle. Like, you know, if you watch Fox News, clearly they lean a little right. You know, where CNN's leading a little left. So how much of advertising and the money from that do you think plays a part in how these things are being presented, and what's a priority in their presentation?
Yeah, I think your advertisers and your advertising money, obviously, you know, we were a local news station, so advertising money is what, you know, paid our paychecks and everything. So we got that. But, you know, example, let's say we, you know, we had a new advertiser coming on, and that advertiser was a dentist. Well, we're being told you need to do a story tonight on dental disease, or I don't know, whatever. It's something crazy, so that, you know, we can make, and you're going to go interview that dentist and put him on the news so that we can make him happy so he'll spend more money. So yeah, it plays a huge role.
Wow. Just as opposed to, like, well, send everybody to grub them fangs and we'll send more money.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. Absolutely, 100%. You know, and if you're, and you know, I've been noticing, and I guess just because of working in the business, I watch things like this, and I watch, like, the commercials that are running right now, like during, say, you know, Nightline or whatever the show that's on. You're seeing, like, businesses and stuff that, in some way, shape, or form, are out there doing something with this coronavirus. So these people are spending more money with the news station because the news station is spending more time on a topic that relates to them. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. It's kind of like, I'll pat your back if you pat mine, but don't send all of America into pandemonium over coronavirus. I get it, serious. I totally do. I have a 14-year-old son who his lungs have been compromised. He's had pneumonia a billion times, and he has asthma. So, like, I'm being very protective of him through this because this is a, you know, lung sickness that affects people's lungs. So I don't want him leaving my house, and I don't want him around other kids and things like that. So I am taking it serious, but I'm also looking at, you know, the reality part of it is, are people really freaking out? Like, hello, going and buying, you know, 4 months worth of toilet paper? Come on, people.
Yeah, diarrhea is not a symptom. I mean, come on. When
exactly,
indeed,
exactly.
People.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. There's this thing that I don't understand. I never will, and none of us will, and I guess that's why it's a great world. I don't know.
You know what I can't wait for? You know what I can't wait for? We're talking about commercials and how they're dictating the news a little bit. I can't wait for them to legalize weed, like, across the country, just so I can watch the commercials. Those are going to be great. In fact, I want to be in one because it's going to be fun, and it's going to be funny. I mean, you're having a shitty day. There's coronavirus. You know, you come home and put on the old TV and, you know, you got some guy just light one up. This joint's for you. Hey, everybody, lighten up. It's not the end of the world just yet. Take a hit.
You're gonna have
it's going to be wonderful.
You're going to have Chong. Yeah, you're going to have Chong's bongs on TV.
Oh, my gosh, that is hilarious. I hope someone's listening that can catch you in that in the commercial for that, because I'll even back it with some money.
I keep putting it out there, man. I'm surprised nobody's tapped me for any of that. It's just an untapped market for BC list actors like myself who are non-essential employees.
You got to realize, too, that with all the states legalizing it, it's not a federal thing yet, so I guess they really can't advertise it to the point where we're advocating marijuana use. I mean, back in the day, it seems like it wasn't a big deal, but, you know, you hear the horror stories. Well, this new stuff ain't nothing like the old stuff. It's a whole lot worse. Well, the old stuff was a whole lot stronger than the stuff before that, than the 60s, I'm sure. So, you know, as growing crops improves, now you're going to have, speaking of which, you're going to have the people that are anti-GMO stuff be anti-GMO weed when you get the bigger buds and the fuller leaves and all that kind of stuff.
Man, people don't care about that. They're just happy to have regular old weed. It'll be fine. It's going to be the same people that get one roll of toilet paper, a bunch of potato chips, and are sitting on the couch watching my commercials, okay? They're not going to care, I promise. We'll come up with vegan weed. I don't know, man. We'll do something crazy like that. It'll be fine. Everybody will be happy. The world will be a better place. You won't even remember Corona. You won't remember Corona. You'll be too hungry.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to invent the hash burger, you know.
Mark Wahlberg better get on that shit right now, man. That's a winner.
I'll tell you this on the weed subject, just because I have to say it. I've been to Jamaica a couple times, and we all know what Jamaica is pretty much famous for.
Oh, we know where this is going.
And I just recently went to Punta Cana, and everyone was great. All the workers were so nice, yada yada. But I left there saying,
"Why do you think that was?"
What? In Punta Cana, I don't know, but I was leaving Punta Cana going, I'm going to go back to Jamaica because everyone's so much more chilled out. Well, I wonder why the hell everyone's chilled out. You know, like Punta Cana, they had like the foam parties in the pool and everyone's going crazy and yelling and screaming. And it's like Jamaica was like chill and like laid back and just like, oh my gosh, so relaxing. It's like, well, yeah, because everyone's walking around high. So nobody gives a shit about the foam party.
Hey, not to make light of a bad situation right now, but I haven't heard shit about Jamaica panicking.
I know, very true.
Everybody seems to be okay in Jamaica. There's no fatalities that I know of. There's just,
everyone's
I don't even
okay.
know. Have we told them about the virus? Do they even know? Do they know? We might need to tell these people so they can panic with us.
They're all self-quarantined.
I mean, God, they probably have toilet paper. They have lots of toilet paper. I'm certain of it in Jamaica.
And there's just this big cloud of smoke over top of the country.
That's climate change at its finest right there, folks. I'm telling you. Doesn't get any cooler than that. Matthew McConaughey approved.
All right.
It is in Jamaica. You bet your ass.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
You get that good,
funny.
Get that good jerk chicken, a bowl. I wonder if they sell Corona beer there. You know? Corona, Mom, this is all the Corona we have.
Bad. I bet you people are dumping stocks. They're silly about that, man. They're dumping all their Corona stocks right now. Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'd love to see what their stocks, like, what their activity has been in the Corona stocks.
It would be an interesting thing to look up just for shits and giggles because, you know, with all the stuff tanking, it would just be like just one of those jabs in the ribs that, you know, people really think that this beer is associated with this virus. And how funny would that be?
I think it'd be hilarious.
I mean, personally, I don't like it. I think it's like the weakest beer I ever drank. I mean, if you got to stick lime in your Corona, you know.
Vinny, did you ever do any time in Germany?
Nah, I've never been to Germany. I was my overseas consisted of Japan. A lot of sake over there.
Man, did you ever drink that stuff that you could stand a pencil up? I don't, Kristen, you might need to look into that. That could be a side hustle for the moonshine thing, man. I don't know what that crap is, but it's like syrup. It's like it might be some kind of sake. It looked like it suckied. I don't know. I didn't. Did you drink that stuff, Vinny?
No, I didn't drink that. I think I know what you're talking about, though. I think that's I forget what that is. It might be from the Philippines too, or somewhere over there. I know. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's
the hibachi. The hibachis, and they like squirt the sake in your mouth. More sake, more baby.
There's a brand of sake I bought over here. It's called Fuki Sake, and I only bought it because the name sounded funny when it was. I'll post a picture of the bottle. You'll see what I mean. I could post it next to my favorite energy drink too.
Oh boy, I can only imagine it's coming from you.
I think I've seen those on display there, Vin. Very, very nice, brother. Very nice. Very nice.
Anyway, what can I do? I try to stay out of the political world on social media. So I go the other way.
That's a smart move, man. I get crucified on social media. People come after my ass, man.
I think I've been trained media-wise. I don't post anything political on my Facebook or my anything, but I was never allowed to, so I had to always stay very neutral.
That's okay. Most of the media these days posts what they think, and you get one side that loves you, one side that hates you, and then they wonder why they're getting so many angry replies. Well, you know, I think you put it out there to get reaction, so.
Mm-hmm.
But as a private citizen, I don't need to upset anybody, so I post post what I post, and whatever I can't post, I send in private messages.
Yeah, I've learned to never open one of your videos when I'm in public.
Hey, thanks for the warning on that one. I haven't gotten a private video yet, but I'll make sure I don't open them.
Just trying to look out for you, sister.
I don't send those to you, Kristen.
I know, but you might one day accidentally, so I'll just make sure if I see an inbox message from you, I'm like, oh, nope, can't open that right now.
Nah, I wouldn't do that to you. I know you have a kid.
Yeah. He probably knows more than I do at this point. He's 14. These kids in this world, they know so much. I just, oh, Lord, God bless me.
I'm teaching you stuff.
God bless me and every other mom of a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah, I think parents right about now are figuring out it ain't the teachers, okay?
Exactly. Yes, and that's why the moms are pulling into the vineyard and they're saying, "Give me all your wine. I need it." Well, do you like red or white? I don't care. I'll take red and white. I don't care.
Well, red's usually stronger than white anyway for some strange reason. Maybe can you tell us why, Kristen, or is it just the way it seems to be?
I think, well, wine always has a different, like red and white always has a different effect on different people. You know, some people will come into the vineyard and they'll want to do a tasting and they'll say, "Well, I can't drink red because it gives me a headache," or "I can't drink white because it gives me a headache." And it's all about the sulfates. And
well, being Italian, there isn't any wine I can't drink. So.
True. I'll have to hook you up with some moonshine.
I'm down with that. I'll take a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Let's do it. If we're gonna go through the apocalypse, we gotta at least go through the apocalypse right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so we don't remember it. Because, I mean, we're not going to remember it anyway. We might as well not remember going through it.
I don't know, though. Us people on the coast of North Carolina, man, we get hit with hurricanes almost every freaking year, it feels like. So it's like,
yep,
we're used to living for days without power, days without, you know, going anywhere. We've been training for this our entire time here. So we've got power now. We got electricity. This is like, this is awesome for us. It's not too big of a deal.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I know around here. Around here, everybody, if you worry about losing electricity, get a Generac generator that runs off of propane. Fill that tank. It can run for 5 months.
Yes, sir.
Sure can. And so you can probably put some moonshine in that. It'll keep running, too.
How high octane is your stuff? What am I signing up for? Can I stick a pencil up in it? Because that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. Give it the pencil test, man. That thing better fall.
Yep. Tomorrow I'm going to test it. I'm going to be like, "Dewey, Dewey's our distiller. Dewey, let's do the pencil test." He'll be like, "What in the hell is wrong with you?"
Well, if that thing sticks straight up and Dewey drinks it, he's going to be like, "Screw you, Dewey." After that. That's some strong stuff. If I can't identify it, I don't consume it. That's just my rule of thumb. I don't know.
I'm with you.
Well, let's give a shout out to War Dog and plug your company there, Kristen.
Yeah, War Dog Spirits Distillery. It's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And then our parent company is Black River Farms Vineyard and Winery, and we're shipping, so we might not be able to ship to your state. I don't know, whoever's listening, but we can ship to certain places. And, we got ourselves a nice little operation here in Bethlehem, PA, so it's pretty exciting.
Well, I guess, Kristen, you'll just have to come down and visit and bring some.
Right. I'll just load my car up and I'll just make some stops. First in Virginia, and I'll head off to North Carolina. Family down there, I'll go visit.
Perfect.
There you go.
Well, I guess that was a fun show. We're about out of time.
Man, already?
Already.
I was just about to do my second commercial.
Go ahead, do your second commercial. This bugs for you.
Well, I can't do it now, Benny. If you have a problem, let me just roll a solution for you really quick. No, I'm just kidding. That'll be commercial too. I appreciate you guys having me on the show again, and hopefully we'll all get through this zombie apocalypse together, and hopefully we'll be better people, and we'll be drinking some good moonshine.
That's for sure.
Cheers.
I know the
to
stuff
that
around here, you can't. So you could just tell, Kristen, you could tell your distiller there that you might have a few new customers.
We're not complaining. We're not complaining. I mean, we can legally not ship to some places, but I can ship to some places. So.
You're the ground unit.
Exactly.
All right, Jeff, Kristen, thanks for coming on. Kristen, thanks for being a co-host. It turned out to be a fun show, considering we're all there's no racing to talk about or any other kind of sports. So it was a fun one tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on tonight, and nice talking with you. And I'm gonna go in and see if I can find your movie on. You said Amazon Prime, right?
Yes, it should be on Prime. Yeah, just Google my name. I'm sure there's a link for just about any silly thing I'm in.
All right, I'm gonna do that.
All right, guys, have a good one. And I'll be in touch.
Bye, Benny.
Thanks again for coming on, Jeff. Bye, bye, Kristen.
Thank you.
Good for having you back on. We'll have to do this. If I'm stuck in again next week, we'll try to do it again. How's that sound?
Same bad time, same bad channel.
Just don't eat the damn bat.
I'm showing my age. I'm sorry.
But yeah, definitely. It was, nice talking with both of you, and be well, and cheers to some moonshine.
Cheers.
That's for sure. Cheers. All right, bye-bye now.
Take care.
Take care. Then, again, thanks for coming on with me. You're my goat. Oh, she's gone. Anyway, that's our show for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Jeff Sander, Kristen Lee joining me talking about moonshine and weed and lack of motorsports and the corona apocalypse. Hope you all enjoyed the night edition. We'll see you all next week. Bye now.